What a song. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And now it is we come to the final chapter of this wonderful book, and we're all left with a question. How is it that we got through a book of 12 chapters faster than we did the book of Ruth, which only has 4 or 5? I don't know. Because we were in Ruth as long as God wanted us to be in Ruth, and we were in Ecclesiastes as long as He wanted us to be in Ecclesiastes, I reckon. We will not completely finish this book up tonight. We will finish it on Sunday morning, but we will get through most of chapter 12 this evening, and then we'll wrap up on Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening. I'm not sure where we will be right now. We won't start a new book next Sunday evening. I'll preach on something else, and then the following Sunday morning, start a new book. And it looks like probably the book of 1 John. Probably going to study out the book of 1 John beginning in a couple of weeks, and a couple of Sunday mornings. And just a lot of wonderful doctrine in the book of 1 John, and a lot of very misunderstood doctrine and passages in the book of 1 John. So anyhow, that's probably where we're going to be going there. Probably where we're going to be going here in a couple of weeks. But this evening, we find ourselves in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And let's read verses 1 through 7. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And you're going to find that a lot of what we're going to study tonight, what we're going to read, is very closely related to the previous chapter, what we looked at just this morning about working and our time here being short. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Dear Heavenly Father God, once more we just ask you to give us understanding of this passage of Scripture, and help me to preach it correctly, and all of us to be changed by it and brought closer to you in our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The final chapter of this wonderful book of Ecclesiastes takes all of the wisdom set forth in the first 11 chapters. Okay, it takes, as the final verses of a book are tend to do, it takes all of this wisdom that has been set forth and packs it all in and boils it all down to what really matters the most. Everything in this book matters. Everything in this book is important. Everything in this book is something that we need to learn. But we come to the end of the book, and here Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, basically lays out, here's what really matters. Here's what this whole thing boils down to. Now, more on that next Sunday morning when we actually close out the book. But we begin to see that right here. We begin to see, okay, he's drawing it all in. It's coming to a close. In this chapter, later on, we will see that we find the meaning of life. And I don't know that people ask that question as much as they used to, but I can remember when I was growing up that I, maybe, you know, when I was old enough to really pay attention to what people were saying, maybe in junior high or so, but I remember that you would hear people say, what is the meaning of life? And I'm sure people still say it. People still who reject God are trying to find that out. But people would say, what is the meaning of life? What is it all about? And why are we here? And that's a question that doesn't go away until someone finds the truth of the Scripture. And people will say, why are we here? How do we get here? What's the meaning of life? Well, the answer to that question, the answer that you have for that question is going to be, just like everything else in life, it's going to be fashioned according to what you believe about God. You know, everything in life, I don't care what it is, everything comes down to and is directly affected by what you believe about God. Everything is. It begins with, do you even believe that there is a God? Then, because if you believe that there's a God, that will, whether you mean for it to or not, that will affect the way that you think and do certain things. And if you don't believe that there's a God, you will act and think in another way. Then you boil it down even more. What do you believe about God? Because there are many people who believe in God, but they don't all believe the same thing about Him. So what do you believe specifically about God? Do you believe exactly what the Bible says, or do you believe something extra? Do you disregard some things that the Bible says? What do you believe about God? Everything in your life is directly affected by what you believe about God. Do you believe that there is a God or not? And then if you do, who do you say He is? Who do you believe that He is? And then, even if you believe He's the God of the Bible, what do you believe about Him? Do you believe exactly what the Bible says? Or have you created, do you believe some of it? And then the rest of it, you have fashioned a God of your own. But it all comes down to that. But people say, what is the meaning of life? Well, the fact is this. Without God, without a belief in the God of the Bible, there is not one. There is not a meaning for life. There is not one valid reason to live life on this earth if there is no God. Because all you have left is you. And flesh. And when people live for themselves and the flesh, that's where wars and fighting and selfishness, because what does man do when he's the only one that matters? He's the only one he looks out for. What did James say? From whence come wars and fightings among you? He said it comes from your own lust, what you want, your desires. So what is the meaning of life? Without God, there isn't one. God is the meaning of life. God is why we're here. Pardon me, you come to chapter 12 and notice the first thing that he says. He says, remember now. After all of this teaching on vanity and the emptiness of this world and how the things of the world don't have anything for us, he says, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we find here first a charge to all. Okay, this is a charge to everybody, to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's for everybody. Now this can be applied in more than one way. This can be applied to lost people and applied to the saved. So let's make the two applications. In this verse, we find a charge, and one of the first applications that we can see is to the lost. Why should the lost remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth? Why should the lost do that? Well, the lost should not wait any longer to be saved. Don't wait another day to be saved. You have no idea. I realize I'm speaking to a room of saved people, but we put these sermons online and we have no idea who hears them. And so somebody could be listening to this and they're lost and they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And we ought not, man ought not delay, once he hears the gospel, he ought not delay for 1 second to make that decision. Because you have, what did we just sing? I don't know about tomorrow. You have no idea if you're going to get it tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to get the rest of tonight. It is foolish for a man to say, yes, I understand I need to be saved. I'll do that later. I'm busy right now. Go to Luke chapter 12. We have read this passage probably 2 or 3 times in the study of this book, Ecclesiastes. This passage in Luke chapter 12, I know that I have read it or at least referred to it multiple times preaching through this book. Luke chapter 12. And verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Boy, that's Ecclesiastes, isn't it? Life is not about stuff here on this earth, because that stuff decays and rots and goes away, and that stuff can be lost or stolen. And when you die, somebody else gets that stuff. Life isn't about things. It isn't about stuff. What an empty life that's lived in that way. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know what that is? It's a blessing from God if that happens. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So here's the man who had all of these goods, and he said, I have what I need. I have provision for years to come. Let me tear my barns down and build bigger ones and store this provision. And then I can take it easy. Are you like me? Every time you thought you were getting ready to take it easy, you realized, nope, guess not. Something else to do. I'll take it easy. Idleness. We're to stay busy. And God comes to him and points out, you're not saved. You have all these things. You have all this provision for all of these years. And your soul is going to hell. You are not saved. And God said, that man is a fool. Because he lived for the things of this world and he thought he had everything that he needed, and he never took care. He never took care of what mattered. Just within the past couple of weeks, I was driving down Margaret Avenue, and there's a elementary school down there. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it. Fuqua, is that how that's it? Fuquay, okay, it looks like Fuquay. I don't know if it still says it, but I was driving down through there and I saw the sign out front, and I didn't get to read the whole thing, so the next time I was through there, I slowed down purposely so that I could read it. And it said, it was a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. The funny thing is, he wasn't a junior and his name wasn't Martin Luther King. But it was a quote from him. It's, I think it said MLK down at the bottom. Here's what it was. Boy, this is just terrible. It said, life's most important question. Something like, what are you doing for others? That isn't life's most important question. We talked this morning about how we ought, if we've been blessed, we ought to bless others. But that's not the most important question in life. Life's most important question is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you been forgiven? Are you on your way to heaven? That's life's most important question. Do all you want for others. Spend your whole life, dedicate your whole life to other people. And if you aren't saved, you haven't answered life's most important question. And we go back here to Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't wait. The lost man ought not wait. This is the pressing question. This is what matters. And I like how it says thy Creator. He isn't just the creator of those that believe in Him. He's the creator of everyone and everything. People say, well, He's not my God. Well, He might not be yours because you don't believe in Him, but He's still the God, and He's still your creator, and you're still going to answer to Him. Maybe you haven't made Him your God, but that doesn't erase Him. That doesn't remove Him from the picture. So the lost ought not wait. What's the application here for the saved person? Well, it really goes along with what we were looking at this morning in chapter 11. Don't wait till you're old to serve Him. Some people relegate service to their later years. Some people's mindset is, there's so many things I want to do now while I'm young, and I'm busy with this, and I want to pursue this, and I'll do that later. I'm young now, I've got the strength, I've got the energy to do all of these things. I'll put that off. Then, when they do start to live for God, they find that their children are already ruined. They find that their marriage is already a wreck. They find that they have family members that they're not able to lead to Christ because they have so damaged their witness by not living for Christ all these years. Well, maybe later when I have nothing else to do. Well, you don't know that you're going to get later. And then they find that their children are ruined, their marriage is wrecked, and then they find that many of the opportunities that they once had won't come back around again. That opportunity won't be there again. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Serve Him now. Serve Him while you have the strength. Serve Him before your mental alertness dulls. Serve Him before you get to the point where service for Him is very, very, very wearisome. Because there'll be a day when things are burdensome. We're going to see that here more in just a minute. There'll be a day when it's a little bit harder. You know that day's coming. So serve Him now so that when those days come, you won't have to look back and say, boy, I wasted all those years. I'm not able to do as much now. I wish I would have done more back then. Don't end up in that situation. Serve Him so that you can say, wow, there's a lot I can't do now. I'm glad I didn't waste all those years. I'm glad I did something back then. Look, I don't believe for one minute that an honest, sincere child of God ever feels like he's doing enough for God. I don't believe an honest Christian can ever stop and say, yeah, I think I used my years pretty well. I think every one of us, no matter how hard we serve, no matter how much we labor, will always say, boy, I could have done more. I could have done more. But I'll tell you what, if you don't do anything and you wait until you're old to try to do anything, you definitely will look back and say, I wasted all those years and have nothing to show for them. Psalm 90 and verse 10. Pardon me. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, that's encouraging. We look at this sinful world and say, boy, I'm glad I don't have to stay here 300 years. I'm glad I don't have to live 400 years on an earth like this. But at the same time, it's supposed to be a reminder, hey, you're not going to be here long. As we said this morning, get to work, get something done for Him. It talks about while the evil days come not. The evil days and finding no pleasure in Scripture there talks about the burdens of older age whenever our bodies begin to slow down and wind down. Those would be the evil days or the... Remember what we said, the word evil doesn't always mean wicked in Scripture. It just means sometimes, like here, it can mean unfortunate. Okay, or not as good, less good than, you know, sometimes it's wicked and sometimes it's just less good. Or okay, generally, unless you're, I don't know, how old's Chuck Norris? Like in his 60s or something and he's still kicking people in the face? I mean, unless you're someone like that who's, you know, never looks like they never age. Who was the other guy? Dick Clark? You know, he was like 900 years old and he still looked 30. The guy looked like he never aged, remember? Okay, that's rare. Most of us, 70, 80, 90, and we start to wind down. Okay, we start to, that's how life works. And Solomon's saying, don't wait till then to serve. Serve now because those days are coming. Serve now. We find it difficult to enjoy certain things. Serve God right now. Serve Him while there's more joy and while there's more strength. And then serve Him while you're physically capable. In the remaining verses, I'll tell you what, this is such an interesting passage of Scripture here. Nobody wrote a book like God wrote a book. There are these signs that you see all around, everywhere. I mean, they're all over the state, probably all over the country. It's probably a national thing. And they'll have a picture of somebody. It's usually a famous person. They'll have a little quote about them or something, and it'll say something about courage, or it'll say pass it on or something like that. You know, it's this big... there's one on the way to our house, and it shows a woman, and she has a little child with her that has cancer, and it's all about how she bought shoes or sold shoes to give money to cancer research. It's you've seen them. Half of the billboard is white and has some kind of saying on it, and then over here it'll have a picture of somebody, and they used to have one with John Wayne, and it's really hard to describe them, but you've seen them. They're everywhere. Well, there's one that has a picture of Shakespeare. And the quote next to it says, words never had it so good. You know, talking about Shakespeare and how he wrote. And I don't know about you, Shakespeare is agonizing for me to read. It is. It's hard. It's amazing the people that talk about, they say that the King James Bible is hard to understand, but they'll read Hamlet and they'll read Romeo and Juliet, and they'll read stuff like, man, are you kidding? I remember when we studied, when we read Romeo and Juliet in school, and I was, huh? Then the teacher showed us the movie, and then I understood it. I just couldn't get it. It's hard stuff. But anyhow, this sign says, words never had it so good, because Shakespeare was supposed to be, you know, so eloquent in the way that he wrote. You know what? Words never had it so good as when God Almighty wrote the Bible. You read the Bible and you just, what man would have thought to write it that way? No man would have thought to write it that way. Only God through the pen of man. And this is one of those passages. This is such a fascinating passage here that when you read it, it's easy to say, what is he talking about? What is all of this about? Keepers of the house and strong men and grinders and windows and doors and daughters of music. Oh, this is a metaphor like you've never read. There's so much here. Let's look at what all of these things mean and the picture that God paints with His words. You say, well, why couldn't he just said it the other way? Well, because God knows exactly what he's doing and knows how everything needs to be said. And boy, this is just such beautiful, beautiful language here. Okay, so serve him now. Remember your Creator while you're young, because a day is coming when it's going to be harder to serve him. And he starts to paint this picture here. And it should not be a discouragement to us. We should not look at this and say, oh man, that's what I've got to look forward to. Only for a few years. Only for a time. If you're saved, what you have to look forward to is one day a perfect body that's never been touched by sin. God isn't going to take this sin-cursed body and rework it. We get a brand new one. Have you ever had a product that needed worked on and you sent it back to the company or you took it in and instead of fixing it, they just gave you a new one? Wasn't that exciting? Like, you know what? This one isn't really worth bothering with. You ever had a car that you put so much money into and you've said, man, that's not worth fixing? At some point, a vehicle gets to where it's costing you more than it would be to buy another one. And you say, that's not worth fixing. Just get a new one. That's how it is with our bodies. God is going to look at our bodies and say, that ain't worth fixing. I'm giving you a new one. It's just not worth fixing. He could fix it, but why bother with it? Here, I'll give you a brand new one that's never been touched with the scars of sin. I'll give you a brand new one. I won't need to sleep in heaven, but if I wanted to, I'd be able to do it without waking up with a sore back. I may take a nap up there just to see what that feels like. You think about some of the aches and the pains that you have. This is going to be a very encouraging sermon. There are few pains, I think, that match a pinched sciatic nerve. Man, I hate walking I did something a couple weeks ago, I don't know what it was, and that sciatic nerve got pinched, and I wasn't supposed to go to the chiropractor for a couple more weeks, and I said, I got to come down. They said, come on down, and he got me straightened out. You can't hardly get out of bed and try to walk and everything, and not in heaven. Not in heaven. So our kids here tonight think, boy, wow, we got a lot to look forward to. Yeah, you do. We all have a lot to look forward to because no matter what happens to these bodies, we're getting out of them one day. We're getting brand new ones one day that have never been touched by the curse of sin. That's exciting. But this passage is not written to discourage people. It's written to encourage people to serve now. Don't wait until this happens before you start living for God, is what this is talking about. But let's look at this. Wonderful language here. Serve while you're still physically capable. It says in verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The keepers of the house, that's referring to our hands. The keepers of the house, that's referring to our hands. What we actually do physical work with. What do you dress and keep something with? Your hands. You don't use your feet, you use your hands. Those are the keepers of the house. So while there is a day when the hands will begin to tremble. I've told you before that whenever I shoot a rifle or anything, I got to prop it on something. Because I just don't have a steady aim. And man, some guys just boom, right on. And me, I look through a scope and it's doing this. I got to have something to prop it up against. I don't have a real steady aim. That does not improve with age. That does not improve with age. So there'll be a day when the hands tremble. Look, and the strong men shall bow themselves. That's our legs. That's talking about weakness in the legs and weakness in the knees. You notice that the older that you get, the less time you're able to stand. You say, boy, I need to sit down. I need to rest because the legs begin to weaken. And the grinders cease because they are few. That's our teeth. Specifically those molars that grind food. You may have a beautiful smile at 20. You may have a fake smile at You may have a fake smile at 40 or 30. They may look good today. They might not even be there in a few years. You don't know. And some people neglect. They'll neglect their teeth and they never have a problem. And then some people do everything they can to take care of them, and they have one problem after another. So this is talking about the grinders cease because they are few. Okay, you know what God's saying here? He's saying you get older, you start to lose your teeth. And those that look out the windows be darkened. Those that look out the windows be darkened. Does your sight go when you get older? It does, doesn't it? Things get a little bit fuzzy. Sometimes eye problems. The windows. Isn't this beautiful language? Lips are mentioned. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. These doors are talking about our lips. As we get older, sometimes it's harder to speak for whatever reason. You go to Psalm 141 and verse 3, I'll show you that's what this is talking about. Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Look, keep the door of my lips. This is a gate. It's a door. I don't know if you've ever heard this. I've probably said this here. To guard our ears, God gave us a little bit of cartilage and some tiny hair follicles. To guard our eyes, we got one thin little flap of skin. But to guard our tongue, because it's so wicked, he gave us a double gate. He gave us a row of teeth and lips to try to lock that thing in. We blow open that gate all the time, don't we? But this is a gate. It's a door. Okay? Let me show you one other place in Micah. Micah 7:5. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Now look, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Okay, so here the Bible oftentimes refers to the lips as a door or a gate. Okay? And so here in verse 4 it says, get back to it. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Okay, so our mouths don't work like they used to as we get older. It's harder to get the words out. It's harder to speak. Some people develop pretty serious speech problems later on in life. And then it says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Rise up at the voice of the bird. The older you get, the less you care about sleeping in, and the earlier that you rise. And you know what? The slightest sound oftentimes will wake you up. How many of you remember spending the night with your grandparents when you were little and thinking, when did Grandma get up? 3 a.m? Man, she's been in that kitchen cooking since 4. I know she has. Grandma and Grandpa go to bed at 6 o'clock in the evening and get up at 1 o'clock in the morning is what you thought. It's what you thought. And Grandma and Grandpa can't understand why you lazy kids are sleeping until 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, can they? It's as we get older, we don't sleep as well. It seems like one of the main conversations going on here lately after church has been, there's just quite a few people in church that are talking about having trouble sleeping. So But boy, I wake up and I'm just, Amy went through that for a little while. Just wake up. I'd wake up and 3 o'clock in the morning, she's gone. She's just in the living room, wide awake, can't go back to sleep. Some of you have been telling us that's been going on with you here lately. Just up. As we get older, it's a little bit harder to sleep sometimes. As we get older, the slightest sound can wake us up. What about these daughters of music? And the daughters of music shall be brought low. What do you need to make and enjoy music? You need a tongue and you need ears. You need a tongue to sing with and you need ears. The daughters of music shall be brought low. We already talked about that speech. The harder to hear. The hearing goes. Boy, this will get us encouraged for the coming week. Yeah, it will. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in thy way. As we get older, we don't try as many of the things as we tried when we were kids, did we? Because as our bodies age, we get hurt easier. We're not going to climb that ladder the way we would have when we were in our 20s or 30s or whatever. We're going to let the kids or the grandkids climb up on the roof and clean out those gutters. We say, I better not go up there. Things don't heal the way that they used to. We don't try some of the things that we used to try. Amy and I were talking, it's been a few years since we had this conversation, but we were talking about how when we were kids, adults would say to us, you kids just think you're invincible. You kids think that you're never going to die and nothing's going to happen to you. And we would argue with that. We'd get smart aleck and we'd say, no, we don't really think that. Now as an adult, I can look back and say, that's exactly what I thought. That is exactly what I thought. I never thought that anything would happen. Let me give you an example. When I was a teenager, I had this little pickup truck, and my buddy and I had this game. He lived out in the country, I lived out in the country, but he had this long stretch of blacktop, and when there was nobody out there, here's what we would do. It has a name, and I can't remember what it's called now. You put the truck in drive and just let it kind of coast. You don't give it any gas, you let it coast, you and your buddy. My kids have already heard this story and been warned against this game. Don't worry. And on go, you jump out of the truck, both of you, run around the truck and change places. See? He takes the driver's seat, I take the other seat, and you go down the road, and then you change back. I mean, the car's going like this. Do you know that there's no guarantee that truck's going to keep going at that speed? Do you know there's no guarantee that truck's not going to veer, as we found out? And we were jumping in the car on the last go-around as it went into the ditch. And as we were jumping up into our seats and the truck was coming down and he bashed his head on the door jamb thing there, I had my friend's hair stuck in the door jamb of that truck and I think he bit his lip and bloodied himself up and everything. What did we do back then? Boy, we just cracked up. Told our friends about it. It was so hilarious. I'm 37, I look back, you idiot. It's a wonder you're married with 4 kids, you moron. What in the world were you thinking? You weren't. When you're younger, you think these days aren't going to come. You think you're invincible. Nothing's going to hurt you. Well, that wasn't the only dumb thing that we did, but that's the only one I'm going to tell you about tonight. But and you have your stories too. You have your stories too. Sometime ask Brother Denny about the Rocky Mountains and the little ledge that he climbed over. I don't know how old you were, but I wouldn't have tried that in my 20s. We do things. We do things. And then as we get older, we say, man, what was I doing? Or we say, I couldn't do that today. I'm not saying Brother Denny's ledge was as dumb as my truck thing. I'm saying I wouldn't try the ledge from what he told me. But you get older and you say, boy, I couldn't do that now. That's what this is talking about when it says, be afraid of that which is high and fear shall be in the way. We say, no, I'm not getting up on top of the house. I'm not climbing that ladder. I'm going to be more careful. Why? We don't have the strength we used to have. Things break, and then they don't heal as quickly, and sometimes they don't heal at all. Look, and the almond tree shall flourish. You ever seen an almond tree? It has white flowers. An almond tree, I didn't know this. An almond tree, I read this and then I looked up pictures of it. It has these white flowers all over it, like a dogwood. It's very white. What happens as we get older? Now think, remember, Eastern culture, okay? We have people with dark hair here in Western culture, but everybody in Eastern culture just about has coal black hair, don't they? It's a trait that they have. Very black, black hair. This is talking about, and this happens to everybody, as we get older, the color of our hair changes. That's a part of getting older, okay? The gray hair comes and the white hair comes, and so this is talking about older age, and it says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden and desire shall fail. Take something as small as a grasshopper. How could that be a burden to anybody? Well, this is pointing out that the older we get, the less strength that we have. The less strength that we have to do the things that we used to do. Because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about in the streets. So he's saying, hey, you're living life for the things of this world. And one day you're going to find that your body isn't what it used to be. And he gives this big long list of here's what happens as we age. And it does. So why wait until then to remember your Creator? Serve Him now. Be busy about serving Him now before you get here and the service that you can do is limited. And there's less that you can do. Serve Him now. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. This silver cord, golden bowl, these are all blessings from God. These are good things that we enjoy. Good things that we enjoy, but here's what it points out. Even the good things of this life are temporary. Whatever is meant by this silver cord or this golden bowl, it's saying they can be broken, they can be loosed. So the good things that God gives us here in this life, the blessings here, those material blessings that he gives us here in this life, they're temporary. They're temporary. Be a day when they're gone. Live for what's eternal. Live for eternity now. Don't put off eternity until later. Live for eternity now. Don't delay. And then finally in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. How did God form man out of the dust of the ground? So we have looked at this entire book that has talked about people living for the world, living for their flesh, living for material possessions. Life is all about popularity to them. It's all about what they have earned. It's all about what they have in the bank. And as this book is closing, Solomon is starting to say, let me tell you what matters in life, and that's living for God, because life is all about Him. And on that, he points out, don't wait to do that. Don't wait to be saved. And if you're saved, don't wait to start serving Him actively with your life. Because time takes its toll on everything and everybody. Everything wears out. What a shame for us to get to the point where we finally decide, okay, now I'm going to serve Him, and we no longer have the wherewithal to do it. Wouldn't that be a shame? You ever had something, maybe it was a food product or something, I don't know, and you kept thinking, you know what, we need to eat that, or we need to fix that, or whatever, and you waited too long, and then you said, oh, look, now it's ruined. Now we can't do anything but throw it out. It's spoiled. Don't let your life be that. Don't say, I had a perfectly good body. I had all these opportunities. I had all these chances. And I wasted them on the things of the world. And then when I finally decided to serve God, I found I was too tired. I was too broken down. I was too worn out. I was too broken. I wanted to, but I didn't have the tools any longer. I didn't have the tools. Don't find yourself in that position. Life is about God. Quit using the strength and the body and the tools that He's given you to live for Him. Quit using them to live for the world. Use them for what they're supposed to be used for, and that's living for Him and serving Him. Let's pray, and then we'll just have a short invitation song. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word that You've given us, and thank You for this beautiful language that we've written tonight. And Lord, You just know how to put things to really bring it all into view and focus and perspective for us. I pray that we would be ever mindful of this, and help us not to waste time. Help us to be busy about the work that we're doing for You. And if we ever get to the point where we feel like, okay, I'm doing what I need to be doing, help us realize that's a dangerous place to be in, because we can never do enough for You. You sent Your Son, and He willingly went to the cross for us. How could we ever think that we were doing our part? Help us, Lord, to be vigilant, and help us to be diligent in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray.